Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. During this Easter season, we have heard about two post-resurrection experiences. The first was when Jesus convinced doubting Thomas that he really was risen from the dead. And the second, when Jesus hosted a fish breakfast on the beach. For the rest of the Easter season, we want to focus on the theology of the resurrection, as found in 1 Corinthians 15. So your homework assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to read 1 Corinthians 15 at home and to meditate on what this resurrection means to you. Now, this story from Corinthians is actually a letter that was written by Paul to an isthmus on the lower part of Greece. And this place, Corinth, was famous for its grand theater and its popular program and its exciting gladiator games. There was a large international population as well, which included Greeks, Syrians, Egyptians, and Jews. And there was a fledgling group of Christians with lots of questions about everything from idols to marriage to spiritual gifts to the roles of church in society. But they were particularly interested and concerned about death. Why is it that Christians have a different understanding of death? And what is resurrection anyway? So we are going to spend the next 3 weeks focusing on Paul's explanation to the church at Corinth. Why does the good news of the resurrection matter? Paul's careful explanation of the powerful words, is just as meaningful to us today as it was 2,000 years ago. But usually we hear this passage at funerals. And so we pastors got together and said, wouldn't it be fun to focus on this understanding of resurrection when it wasn't overshadowed by the heaviness of grief? So let's talk about the resurrection, why it is important to us, and what it is. In the opening verses of 1 Corinthians 15, as you see here, Paul writes this, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day." So here, Paul starts out with basically a little credo, trying to explain what is of first importance. What's the most important part about being a Christian? What do we believe? Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, so Jesus is the Messiah, the long-awaited Son of God, in accordance with the Scriptures, which is very important because the Old Testament, which ruled the Jews at that time, okay, and still does, this Bible talks about this Messiah coming to us. And so Paul wants to communicate, this is the one that we've been waiting for. And then he talks about death. Jesus truly died on the cross. He was truly buried. It wasn't a joke. It wasn't a farce. He wasn't just resuscitated then. He was resurrected. He will never die again. And so 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. This is our belief. Why do we know this? Well, Paul goes on to write, look at all the witnesses we have. We have witnesses that have, from the original apostles to 500 other believers. And finally, he says this. On the next slide, there we go. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Jesus appeared to Saul. Remember that story in the book of Acts? and he's on the road to Damascus, he is carrying with him letters that are going to allow him to arrest and round up Jews and bring them to Jerusalem to be tried as heretics and blasphemers, possibly even executed. So he himself was a bounty hunter. Talk about the worst kind of person, right? So he talks about himself as untimely born and someone who persecuted the church. But then we get to the crux of this passage in verse 10. Paul then writes, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain." His grace has not been in vain. Paul reminds the church at Corinth that he is a transformed person because of Jesus Christ. Paul actually says, "I'm glad I was such a schmuck early on in my life, because if you can see that Christ can change me and redeem me, certainly he can redeem all of you. I am the biggest sinner of all. You all have nothing to fear." And how does this happen? By grace. And this is the definition. I love this definition of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Nice little mnemonic device that we use in confirmation. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, what are those riches? Those riches are three: unconditional love forever and ever, forgiveness of all of our sins, and eternal life in heaven with God. And at what cost? Who paid for it? Jesus paid for it. The expense was totally on Jesus, who willingly went to the cross and died for our sins. So that Paul understands grace as the origin of his new and transformed life in the cross of Jesus Christ. So, what does this mean for us as we have this discussion about resurrection? It's wonderful, because before he talks about the what and the how resurrection works, Paul starts with the why. Let me ask you, do those words sound familiar when he says, "I am who I am"? Yes, it should. Paul saying, "I am who I am," reminds us of the passage from Exodus 3 when God introduced himself to Moses. If anyone has a question, just tell them, "I am sent you. I am who I am. I was who I was. I will be who I will be." That's who God is. That's God's name. And we are reminded, as Paul says this, that we too are made in the image of God. The imago Dei. We are made in God's image. We are valuable children of God. And Paul confirms that even he, a persecutor of the church, a blasphemer of the word, a denier of Jesus Christ, even he is redeemed and made in the image of God. And I, Pastor Elizabeth, a sinner, am made in the image of God. And you, congregation, are made in the image of God. God bought you with the blood of his only son, Jesus. That's how valuable you are. That's why resurrection awaits you. God wants us to share this good news and proclaim this to everyone so that everyone may believe. But that can be hard to believe, can't it? How many of you have ever felt not valuable? Raise your hand. I see some hands and I see some heads nodding. I have felt oftentimes that I was not a good person, that I have messed up, or that I was too naive or too stupid. I remember one time I was working in a soup kitchen, And I was a little bit nervous, and when I'm nervous, I hum to myself. So as I was going through the crowd of people, and I was pouring sweet tea and water, which of course, it was the South, of course we had sweet tea. And as I was going through and pouring within the crowd of homeless people who were receiving this food, one of the people started snapping his fingers and said, "Hey, Snow White, get over here with that tea." And I was like, am I really a Disney princess? I felt terrible. And then I realized I was singing, and I thought maybe, you know, squirrels and chipmunks were coming out under my skirts. I don't know. But I was just, I thought, oh my gosh, does he see me as some sort of happy-go-lucky, joyful, jumping around Christian? Because the fact is that my pain and anxiety got me to where I am today. The cross of Jesus Christ is what allowed me to work at that soup kitchen, even though I was a little bit nervous out there pouring water and tea for everybody. That pain and anxiety made me realize it was because of who I am that God is going to use me, not in spite of who I am. Did you hear that? It is because of who you are that God wants you to be a minister, not in spite of who you are or what you have done. Christianity becomes relatable and attainable and understandable for other people because of ordinary Christians like you and I. This is what God wants us to do, to share who we truly are, to be glad that we are who we are. This is why Jesus died for us and why our ministry lies before us. Now stay tuned. The next 2 weeks, we're going to dig even deeper into this resurrection experience. But today, I want you to hold on to the fact that you are a valuable child of God and that you are who you are and Jesus loves you. Let's pray together. Almighty God, thank you so much for letting us hear these words from Paul today, letting us hear that you value us, that you bought us at a great price of your Son Jesus on the cross. We give you thanks, Lord, for the gift of your resurrection, and may we continue to live it out throughout this Easter season. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.